The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Good morning, everybody. It's Barely Filtered today. It's Barely Filtered every day, but today happens to be, I hate that you guys get this a week after I film. It's fine, but just so you know, today is a full moon in Scorpio squared Pluto, which is just means that if everybody around you is going batshit crazy, including yourself, this is going to be it's going to get better by the end of the week. So by the time you have heard this, things will have probably exploded, and then now you're kind of picking up the pieces and things are feeling a little better. Basically, full moons in Scorpio just bring out the emotional, insecure sides of everybody. And I'm feeling that from a lot of people around me. But since I like to lean into the astrology of stuff, like it almost, like last night, my ex was being such like just a little bitch. And I was just like, oh, you must be feeling like the full moon in Scorpio. And it like helped me not be mad at him. So I was just like, okay, whatever you say, you're making absolutely no sense, but you do you. Anyway, on that note, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what has been going on in my life. Oh, I went to the doctor the other day and I went to the doctor because I have like bronchitis, but you know how they always make you get on the scale. So I have never had any kind of eating disorder, any kind of like weight. So I've never even dieted. I'm lucky to have a pretty good metabolism, but I was shocked because what I weigh right now is what I weighed when I was like 7 months pregnant. So I was like, is there something wrong with that number? Like what, how did I gain so much weight? And like, where, I don't think I look that different, but I guess when you quit tobacco, it's really common to, or you quit nicotine, it's really common to gain a bunch of weight. And that's actually what deters a lot of people from ever quitting, because I didn't. So as you guys know from previous episodes, I was like addicted to vaping for a year, and then I quit 2 months ago. And I didn't realize that it's not just that it makes like you eat more to get the dopamine that you were getting from the nicotine. It's something that your metabolism is kind of just screwed because it's been relying on the nicotine as like an appetite suppressant. There's a few different things. I also read an article that said that it messes with your gut microbiome in a certain way, where like now it's just everything is slowed down and your body basically doesn't, when you take nicotine. So nicotine by itself is actually has a lot of benefits. I'm not promoting it in any way because it's very addictive, and anything that's addictive has its flip sides, which for me and for most people just causes more problems than good. But one of the things that nicotine actually is helpful for is that I guess it helps your gut absorb more of the nutrients from your food. This is something I read, an article that was, it was like peer-reviewed medical article, but obviously this is just something that I read on the internet. Don't quote me on this. But anyway, so I just thought that was so interesting because it makes sense that now that I'm 2 months out, I'm like, I've gained all this weight. It's so worth it to not be trapped in the claws of an addiction. Like, I feel so free from this. I tried to quit probably 12 times in that year, and I have never been addicted to tobacco in my life, or nicotine, or anything like that in my whole life. It was such a crazy addiction. Like, how quickly you can get hooked on these vapes is nuts. If you're thinking about trying one, do not. I never thought I'd be the person sneaking like vape hits in a public bathroom or like airplane bathroom, maybe sometime. Don't tell anybody. And that was totally me. And now that I'm free from it, I'm like, it just is, there's so much peace in not having anything that you need in order to feel like secure in your body, you know? But I did gain, I think I gained 15 pounds. Like, that's kind of a lot of weight. You can't really tell, but like, I don't know. So now I'm trying to, my friend's like, go on Ozempic. That's what everybody else is doing. I would never go on Ozempic because I feel like you can tell with everybody who, well, first of all, it's not healthy. If you just want to lose a couple pounds, that's not what it's for. It's for like diabetes. But let's be honest, we all know people who are taking it because they just want to be a little skinnier. And in my opinion, they look gaunt. Like, I feel like it almost looks like you lose the muscle and like the collagen before you even lose the weight. I don't know. It's not a look that I aspire for at all. Like, I like to look healthy and fit, but I also want my face to be full. Like, if I feel like if it looks too sunken, then it can very quickly look like older. It ages you. Not what I'm going for, you know? Okay. I have somebody over here, a little, you know, chattering from the audience telling me that there's a worldwide shortage of Ozempic, or I think, what's the other word for it?
Manjara.
They are different. Whatever. I have a friend who has, she gets it from Brazil because it's cheaper there. She's a Brazilian. She goes once a year, comes back with like just like the most random stuff that is cheap there, that's expensive here. One of them happens, well, plastic surgery. She came back with a new nose. But every time she comes back, like new boobs, like just like she slowly, her goal is to like look like a different person every time she comes back. She's a silly person. Anyway, she's been taking Ozempic for a while, which by the way, she's one of those people who's like, she's like 5'1". So she can eat like 2 bagels, gain 5 pounds that you can see, but then also like skip a meal and loses the weight just as easily. But she is one of those kind of very weight conscious people. I get in a fight with her all the time because she weighs herself daily. For me, I feel like that she says every morning when she wakes up, she weighs herself after she pees so that she gets more of an accurate reading. That just screams obsession. And if from somebody who runs OCD-ish, never in the weight department. I don't know why that just never had been my thing. Like that just screams like you're thinking about this too much. You shouldn't wake up and be like, oh, wonder if like I'm a little bit over, a little bit under. Because also there's so many things that can fluctuate in your body and then you're going to let it dictate your mood and what you eat and what you let yourself enjoy. Anyway, long story short, she takes it. And of course, this is just how I am. I was at her house. I was like, just stick me with it one time. I want to see what it feels like. So she like gave me a shot of it. The next day, I felt so sick. I was like, I did not like it. It was an appetite suppressant because I felt ill and I didn't want to eat. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's worth it. But it also, so it slows down your metabolism so much that when you get off of it, you gain weight even more quickly than you would have had you had never taken it. So is the plan just to take this forever? Yeah, okay, I have a yes over here. She says yes. So since there's a worldwide shortage, I think you guys need to come up with a different plan, okay? Because I don't need you to be gaining a lot of weight and just having all these like mental issues because you're upset that you're fat now. This is not, no. So anyway, I gained weight. I'm going to lose it the natural way, starving myself. No, I'm just kidding. Working out and eating. My plan is to do this. I'm going to have my coffee in the morning, have a little bit of protein. So like maybe an egg, like a hard-boiled egg. And then I'm going to try to eat vegetable and protein for most of the day. That's really hard for me because I'm a carb loader, especially, but also, by the way, you guys know I've been like dabbling and drinking a little bit of wine here and there. That I bet if I just cut that out, which that is something also I have to cut out for the weight thing too right now. So, well, and because I don't want to drink. But that alone, I guarantee I'll lose the weight in like 3 weeks. Alcohol is such a metabolism killer. Like not even the sugar in the wine alone. Like it's the fact that your metabolism for the entire next day is shot because your body is putting all of its energy into detoxifying the poison that you put in your system. It doesn't have time to work on your digestion, which takes up more energy than any other function in the body. So that's my story about that. I feel like talking about weight is kind of a touchy subject because I'm not overweight. I don't have weight struggles. And I know that's something that a lot of people really suffer with, really struggle with. And I have all the compassion for that. There's always a healthy way to do it. And the first step to that is to be compassionate towards yourself. So I'm not over here killing myself, feeling like, oh, I don't look good in this. I have Olivia's wedding coming up. Like there's a lot of, you have a choice to make when you realize that you're not at the weight you want to be. First, you can go the left way and be like, hard on yourself. How did I get here? I'm never going to fit in this. I don't look as good. Or you could just be like, okay, I'm going to make healthy choices. Be compassionate. Try to make healthy choices. And I think, you know we need our sleep. We need to cut out the alcohol and make healthier choices. Like I definitely have been making the just like the lazy choice, especially with kids and when you're tired and you just eat the rest of the macaroni and cheese in the pot so you don't feel like juicing. Or I have a juicer and I love making celery juice. It's such a good way to start the morning, but like I'm so lazy to clean the parts. It's just prioritizing. That's one of the things that I'm really trying to get this week is my thing. Like this week I've been focusing on prioritizing the things that are really important to me and saying no to the things that I just don't want to do. Like I was supposed to go on a date today after this with a guy who I already have gone out with a few times. I know it's not, he's not the guy I want to, I just know it's not going to work out. You have your answers, but for some reason, like I keep putting myself in situations, one, either because I feel bad saying no, or two, because I have like the delusional hope that this person might change, although I have no reason to think that. And then I have no like evidence that that is actually factual at all. So I need to just put my energy in more important things, like going home, not going out to eat and stuffing my face at a date. I'm going to go home and make healthy choices, make some vegetables and some chicken or something. I don't know. Now it's already sounding boring to me, but we'll figure something out. This is the guy who took me to the Italian restaurant that showed up high and started hitting his weed pen. Yeah, that's kind of like a hard no. And it's somebody who also like is supposed to be sober. Like he told me that he was sober because he's had drug problems. So like if anybody else had come in and started hitting their weed pen at dinner, I'd be like, well, that's just like not really classy. But like for this person, it's kind of, it says a little bit more because I know it's something that he's struggled with. So if you can't even hide that shit, then I don't know. I got kids. I can't sign up for this. Okay, so dating this week, obviously I canceled my date this afternoon. I have not really been on the apps at all, but I did get an interesting DM from somebody who said, oh my God, is this your ex? Now, I'm not going to say which ex it is. I'm not going to name the person, but it was somebody who I was in a relationship with at one point. And they were like, he's on seeking arrangements. And I'm like, what's seeking arrangements? Like, I know all the dating apps because I'm on them, right? And evidently it's one that I missed because it used to be for seeking alternative relationship style. So I'm getting a sugar daddy vibe. Evidently it can be any, like a few different ways to structure a relationship. Like, I mean, it could literally be anything. I think in the past it used to be like, give me sex and I'll give you money. I don't know. Isn't that prostitution? Yeah, I don't know. What's another relationship? Maybe like come over, cook me dinner. We can snuggle and like you can rub my feet and then I'll give you like some bitcoins. You have sex with me once a week and I'll pay for your apartment. Why does that sound like actually kind of like a good deal? Okay, do not. This is not an advice giving session. That's not a good idea. I mean, unless it is a good idea. No, there's too many STDs around there. No. Well, what kind of an apartment are we talking? Like, yeah, it depends on the arrangement you're seeking. Oh, there's an arrangement that nobody's ever told me about before. You can just go on dates with people and they'll pay for your apartment. Who are these sad men? I mean, they can't get a date without having to pay for it. If it's an apartment in LA, like you're out at least $4,000 or $5,000. Like, I don't know. I have no comments other than that. I don't think these men need to. I think they're giving too much. But I mean, they don't. But also these women, where do they find these men? On Seeking Arrangements, maybe. Okay, so Seeking Arrangements has since changed their name. It's no longer Seeking Arrangements because they now are promoting themselves. They've rebranded. They're promoting themselves as a site or a dating app where you can now find the love of your life, long-lasting partnerships. It's a little more PG, traditionally styled. However, I do not think that once you're seeking arrangements, you can't just become seeking, which is their name now. You can't just become seeking and not still carry the connotation of this being something that's a little left field, a little untraditional. I'm not going to say shady, untraditional. That would be like if Playboy magazine said, okay, now we're doing like a home decor section. And like, no, like you can't rebrand when you were one thing so hardcore. And then now I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think you can just rebrand like that? You'd have to call yourself something totally different. You were seeking arrangements. Now you're just seeking. And they see how they left that open for you? Like seeking what? I have so many questions. Anyway, my ex was on there. It gets better. You guys, the picture that he puts up as his profile picture, I'm in it. I'm in the background. Like, absolutely not. No. But I would like to seek an arrangement with him, to be honest, because I would like to seek some retribution from the past. There's a lot we could talk about. I'm happy that he's putting himself out there. And it sounds like he's really come to terms with the fact that he was never seeking anything traditional, clearly, if what we had was not traditional at all. He was not operating in any normal traditional way. I was. But now he is, I guess he's being more clear that he's just seeking. And maybe I have to read the profile. She only screenshot it to me. But I might have to, I don't know. I don't have a profile. Maybe I can do like a week trial or something. I don't know. Seeking arrangements, if you would, or seeking.com, if you would like to sponsor this podcast for one episode, I will say something nice about you and just give me a free at least week so I can do some detective work. Anyway, Sophie is on Sophia. Sorry.
Jeez, get it right.
To me, she's, well, sorry that you just changed your name.
You like, changed my name.
So, Sophie, your name was not Sophia until you were 25.
It's on the birth certificate.
Yeah, but nobody ever called you that our whole life.
That's
growing
actually
up.
Not true. We have childhood videos when I'm like little. You guys call me Sophia. It's when I went to elementary school because it was the most common name. I had three in my class and okay. I took Sophie.
So you took Sophie. That's fine.
And I regret
then
it.
Decades went by with
and
everybody calling you
Sophia
Sophie.
Better.
And then she's like, I'm Sophia now. And I'm like, I can't.
I'm reinventing myself.
I can't. Okay, well, I'm going to be Isabella. Isabella. Can you start calling me Isabella?
All right. So your podcast is hosted by Sophia and Isabella.
Yeah. And she keeps saying she's hosting my podcast. You're a guest.
I'm co-hosting.
You're co-hosting. You're a guest.
This
welcome.
Is a permanent position.
Welcome to my office. Don't get too comfy. Oh, Sophie. Oh, my gosh. So you, last time you were here, you were single and we went through.
Was I?
Yeah, you were single when you.
No, because
I
just started dating Michael.
Yeah, you just started dating your boyfriend. You're still with him. Is that correct?
We're still together. 10 months.
10 months.
10 months. That's almost a year.
And
for those that didn't know.
They say that like if you're not going to work out with somebody, the signs will start to show after like 3 months. And then by 6 months, it's like you kind of get the dynamic of what it's going to be like.
Yeah. You know, like what... There's no hiding anything after 6 months. Like,
yeah.
You know everything about each other. And you have, like, the decision, all right, is this someone that I can work with and grow with? Or is this just not compatible?
I don't know if you know everything about somebody. Like, I mean, people...
No, but you know the deal breakers by that point. Like,
yeah.
You don't want kids? Okay, I'm done here. Thank you for the experience.
Yeah, that's true. There weren't a lot of things that surprised me, like, years in, or after I got married. Like, you hear those horror stories of, like, we walked down the aisle, and then he turned to me with, like, his red eyes, and he was, like, he was actually, like, I don't know, like, on Dateline, how it's, like, the man, like,
they
waits
change.
Till they get married, and then he changed. Or what's that? It was Enough? With
Jennifer with J-Lo?
That was
he
my starts,
favorite
like,
movie.
Beating her after
child.
They get
That's
married.
So wrong. Yeah. Why was that my favorite movie as a kid? Do you remember that?
Sophie's favorite movies growing up was The Mask of Zorro with
Enough.
Catherine Zeta-Jones and Enough with
I needed a therapist.
Jennifer Lopez.
Like, I thought it was cool she knew how to box. That's all I got from
that
Enough.
That is cool. No, it's a nice redemption story.
And the guy was cute, right?
He was cute, but he was a wife beater.
Yeah, that's not cute, but like physically he was.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, so you are everything's going good with your man?
Oh, yeah. Everything's going great with Michael. 10 months. I don't know how that flew by. It's like I've been in a year-long relationship and I don't, like, time flies when you're having fun.
And where did you meet him?
I met him when I moved to LA, moved in with Sophie Dellerman, and her boyfriend was friends with Michael.
Okay, so your roommate's boyfriend's friend.
Yeah, but even before
I thought
I moved
you met
out,
him on an app.
No. Oh, God, I don't do those anymore.
Really?
No, bad experiences, which I know you can relate to. No, I one of the questions too that someone sent in was like, how do you meet good quality men?
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe just being set up from someone that knows them, that's vetted them. Like before I moved out, Sophie was like, you're really going to like Michael. And I was moving out because I was like freshly new single. And I was like, I'm not dating anyone ever again. I'm single for life. And like I met him and like within 2 months, I was like, why does no one talk about how cute this guy is? And then fell in love.
Yeah. Oh, how cute.
Cue the track.
Aww. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good for you. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. I'm happy that it's so nice. I like you so much better when you're not like dating an asshole that makes you crazy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I like myself a
lot
more.
Actually, Olivia, we were talking about because she's getting married and I'm giving a speech, and you are too, by the way, so practice. And I was like, the speech that you gave at my wedding was so bad. And she's like, I'm sorry. I know. Like, she even admits
hers
to it.
Hers was mean. Mine was good.
Sophie's was nice. Olivia's speech at my wedding, I have a point to this. It's because she had just come. She was at the tail end of a really bad, like, abusive relationship. And she was her worst version of herself. So, like, if your friend or your sister or somebody is in a relationship with an asshole, like, it brings out the absolute worst in them. And then we all have to suffer the reverberations of this guy. So I was getting married and Olivia was like, you remember that one time you called me fat when I was in third grade? And whoa. And I'm like, this is my wedding, for God's sake. Like,
I remember that. And then I remember that so vividly. Mine was good. Mine was cute. I can't even remember it, to be honest, but I know it got a cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. I like myself a lot more too. But that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. If you're with a good guy, they make you like yourself more.
Yeah, it brings out the your better qualities, right?
Yeah.
Because we all have a dark side.
Everybody has a dark
side.
Which,
by the way, you're a Scorpio and you know tonight is full moon in Scorpio.
It's a pink full moon, yeah.
So not all full moons are 100% full moons. This is a 100% full moon. It's squaring Pluto, and Pluto is like our hidden shadow self, our deepest insecurities. And Scorpio is this sign like that brings up, it's a very moody sign.
Yeah.
And it brings out all the things that are hidden in the shadows, like a scorpion, right?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I just read something about like bringing out your shadow work, and like this full moon is supposed to like show you where the areas you need to work on, like in relationships. That's what my.
Yeah. Well, because we're also, it's. Mercury's been in retrograde for the last until the end of the week. Like, we have it's eclipse season. So there's all this shit coming out right now, but it's all going to get better by the end of the week. But I just think it's interesting for like, so all full moons are an opportunity for us to like release. It's when things like come to a head.
Pretty much. I like to go in the backyard and light shit on fire. Yeah. Be like, I'm burning this. Getting rid of this.
So,
I'm not crazy though.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times we give our attention to the loudest emotions, not necessarily like the sanest or the most thoughtful. So this is a time when it's like, okay, do I just want to burn shit for the sake of burning shit? Or like, is this important? Is this a good choice?
This last eclipse, truly, I really felt it. Like, I felt like a brand new person. I was so anxious the month leading up to the eclipse. And then I swear, like the day it happened, I was like, new person.
Yeah.
It felt so.
Have you been having like really vivid dreams?
I had a really vivid dream last night.
Yeah. They say leading up to a full moon, your dreams become more vivid. Generally. I had the craziest. And also, by the way, like, I hate people who tell their dream stories just as much as I hate people who tell me like what their tattoos mean. But I do think that it's this, like, my dream was just so random that I have, and this is my podcast, so I'm just going to talk about it anyway. We were taking a trip to like Eastern Europe, and Christian was coming with us, and he was, it was so weird.
I probably had a dream last night. I slept in my old bedroom because we slept at Olivia's house last night. Our mom's in town and I used to live there. So I slept in my old bedroom. That's now Christian's like, his room.
Literally his, no, it's his room where he plays Xbox.
Yes, but also it's all his like memorabilia. So I slept next to a giant Christian McCaffrey poster. And I was like, I feel so weird right now.
Kind of weird.
I don't know how to, this is not the first time I've been in a room sleeping underneath a poster that's Olivia's boyfriend.
That's Olivia's boyfriend?
Because Nick Jonas when I was little.
Oh my God. Olivia needs to stop. Well,
that one was weird. And honestly, I had the crush first, but that ended very quickly when they started dating.
Really weird.
So it's weird.
Really weird. One of the things I'm trying to do right now is make more healthy meals. And sometimes it's hard to do this when I'm constantly on the run in my car. I like to drink my meals because honestly, since I spend so much time driving, it makes for way less cleanup. And I love to use the Beast Blender. So the Beast Blender not only is super powerful, but it looks beautiful on the counter, which is very important. I need everything to look aesthetically pleasing. It's a beautiful personal blender that's made to use every single day. It's a 1,000-watt motor and patented safety technology helps ensure that every smoothie comes out perfectly. All Beast Blenders come with drinking and storage accessories so you can take your creation on the go or easily store it in the fridge. Visit thebeast.com and use code BARELYFILTERED at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's thebeast.com and use code BARELYFILTERED for 15% off. Also, just a little side note, if you take any kind of supplements, I am so tired of those little cellulose capsules. I like to now open my supplements, put them in my smoothies, and then you don't have to eat all of that extra cellulose. I take like 20 supplements a day. So if you're like me, this is a really easy way just to kind of hide that. And you can do that by putting them in your smoothie with your Beast Blender. I have it in a beautiful white color. It matches my kitchen and it looks like, honestly, I would use it as a vase. I would put flowers in it. It's that beautiful. Visit thebeast.com and use code BARELYFILTERED at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's thebeast.com, code BARELYFILTERED for 15% off. Okay, so since I am using apps to date, and you just told me that you've had really bad experiences with the apps, I would appreciate you giving me a little heads up, like what are some things I should look out for?
Well, I just think Raya, no offense if you're on Raya, it's really more the men that are on Raya. They are not nice boys, not nice boys. I think it attracts like guys that they want like a pretty girl. They want someone with status, and they probably want somebody with status because that's what they want. And that's what they're looking for from a relationship.
That does add up, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
it adds up. Tell me a few examples of horror dating stories.
Horror dating stories? Oh, God, I have a few. I hope these people don't ever hear this. But I remember I first moved to LA and I went on a date with someone that I met out, just like at a bar. He asked me out and I was like, okay. This was 4 years ago.
Wait, this is not a dating app story if you met him at a bar.
First of all, this date was a virtual reality date where like...
Come again?
I know. Well, to get even better, we first went and we went to like get a meal and like share a drink. I show up, get there. We pick out a bottle of wine. We open the bottle of wine. He then tells me he doesn't drink.
Oh, he's like, here's this whole bottle of wine for you.
And I'm like, I don't want to drink alone. And also I feel very vulnerable now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not drinking. I am. Would have appreciated if you told me that before. Then we went to like a virtual reality game where like you put on this backpack and these big goggles. And I'm like, this is just so not me. We're in the middle of this virtual reality game. And all of a sudden someone is kissing me. And I can't see. I have goggles on.
Oh my God, that's
horrible. Literally in Jurassic Park. Someone's kissing me all of a sudden. I'm like, is this the guy I'm on a date with? Is this the other guy that put on his goggles and backpack? Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not kidding.
It sounds like this guy maybe missed a few social cues.
I think a couple.
Generally, when you come in for a kiss, you need to see if it's like well received. Or like 100%. They can see you. Maybe that's step one.
I didn't even know if it was him. We were there with like other couples too. I was like, do you think I'm your girlfriend? Like, I don't know who this is. I had to take my goggles off. And I'm like, then and my goggles are off and I'm in just like the screening room for this virtual reality, which literally just looks like an old busted up movie theater. And I'm just like,
wait, so did you ever find out who the guy was?
It was him. I took off the goggles. It was the guy that I was on a date with. Then we like proceed to walk because this was again in the mall. So we were proceeding to walk through the mall. We take an escalator. This is more of a personal thing. Don't touch me on an escalator. I'm terrified of escalators.
Yeah. He's like, you could throw off my balance.
100%. He starts kissing me in the middle of the escalator. And I'm like, stop kissing me at random points of this date. I didn't say you could. This isn't the mood. This isn't the moment. So yeah, we didn't have a
second. He's like, what?
Date.
You had a whole bottle of wine. What could be wrong? Did you drink? You had one glass?
I probably had two glasses of wine.
Why would he offer a bottle?
Because the date went just horribly wrong. The first place we were supposed to go to get drinks was closed because it was raining in LA. So then we ended up going to Italy in the mall where like you can buy a bottle of wine. So we had to buy a bottle of wine. Then he tells me he doesn't drink. And then we go to this virtual reality thing. And then after that, I think I just was like, I got to go home. So I just left. I mean, like, he's actually like a really funny guy.
You
now.
Need to make a list of these people and just keep me updated. We'll do a shared notes of the people that you have dated. Oh, I guess your list is not going to grow. But like, I need to make sure I'm not going out with this guy now.
I don't think you will. I'll be honest.
Why?
Well,
what do you think you're attracted to in a guy that I wouldn't be attracted to? Or do you think it's that he wouldn't be attracted to me because I have kids? Or, I mean, that could be the only possible reason,
honestly,
right? I don't know. What else? What's there not to like? Give me a break.
I don't even remember how old this guy was. I don't know. But actually, no, I think you would, the guy that I dated over the summer, I feel like you actually would have been.
No. The bing. He's the kind of guy who, when he smiles, it's like, whoa, I need sunglasses. They were
no,
like,
that was...
the veneers are way too white.
Oh.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, that was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. Valid. Okay. You guys ever
hooked up with the same person? Me and Sophie have never hooked up with
no.
the same person. Olivia and I did, and then he turned schizophrenic. It's a sad story. I'm not making light of this. He actually does have a severe mental health problem now where he what do you call it when you just become schizophrenic out of the blue?
I mean, that's how it's schizophrenia.
Yeah.
It happens in like early 20s. It arises.
Activates.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sophie and I have never made out with the same person, right? No.
Ew.
She's
no.
How much younger than me are you?
7 years.
Yeah. We didn't even know the same people.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No.
So, like, when I went to college, you were still, I could pick you up. You were, like,
yeah.
9.
I was, like, 8.
You were 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we definitely were not
hooking
up with
people. Definitely
were not
hooking up
with people. I would be in jail. So, no. Now it's
Now it could happen, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, small world, you went on a date with one of my current boyfriend's friends. We just put this together last night.
Yeah. He was really nice.
Yeah. Now I have to go on a double date with him, and I'm just going to be like, you dated my sister
really?
For a day. Yeah.
He's really nice. He's from Australia.
Nice guy, yeah. He's a motivational speaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice. Guy. You know, you just like, some people, it's really not personal, and that's what I had to say to him. And he was so, I've had some actual really grown-up dates where like, I'm just like not feeling it, and they're like, that's fine. Like, thanks for being honest. But here's the thing. They might have felt a different way about it than how they showed me, because I feel like whenever anybody has rejected me, like in any small way, even like cuts me off like on the street or like doesn't let me cross any kind of rejection, like I feel like I'm very sensitive to.
Yeah, I think that's a
kind of a common thing.
Yeah,
unless these men are just really mature and it didn't hurt their feelings.
No, he said nice
all.
Things about you. He said to Michael that you were like very nice things. He wasn't like, fuck this bitch.
Yeah, she didn't want to date me.
Yeah. Should we get into some of the questions that people sent in? This is my interview, remember? If anybody has a podcast that they want to host for.
Since when do you want to be a podcast?
It's fun.
Yeah, it
We've
is.
We've talked about this.
That's true.
Well, because people sent in really good questions. We have a lot of questions.
Interesting things to add. I went on a date with somebody who was a really good first date. He texted me later that night and he was like, he basically, one thing led to the other. He ends up admitting to me that he's a sex addict.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Do you think that's a deal breaker?
That means he's a cheater. That's what that means.
Oh.
I love having sex, not with one person. That's what that means.
Mm. Like, no, but then I was like, okay, well, I have some history with like, how to treat addiction, because one addiction is the same as all addictions, like whether it's sex or food or alcohol or whatever. I'm like, you know, I've read a lot of books on like addictive behavior. So I gave him a book by Russell Brand and it's called Recovery, Freedom from Our Addictions. And basically it's like it applies the 12 steps of AA or 12 steps, whatever you want to call it, to any possible addiction. And so I gave it to this guy as kind of like, oh, well, thank you. First of all, I thought it was kind of endearing that he was upfront and honest with me, right? But then he continues to ask me out, like, we had a really good first date, do I go out with him again? Or like, no, I mean,
no.
He was honest and he wants to change his sex addiction.
No.
But also he probably has some kind of like an STD or
a
something.
1,000%. It's like, what, 1 in 2 people in LA have syphilis or something like
no,
that?
No, syphilis, everybody would be dead.
No, but there really is LA is a dirty, dirty town. It's a dirty town.
Well, that's scary.
I would not engage with this person.
I feel like if you're a sex addict, though, you probably use a condom because you just...
What if the addiction just takes over?
Oh, I guess, yeah. I thought, like, I don't know. If you're a sex addict enough to be aware of it and call yourself that, then you...
How does one really... Okay. If you're in therapy for a sex addiction, how did you get there? To me, my brain... to me, I think that means you got caught cheating in a relationship. This woman made you self-reflect. You wanted her back. So you're like, I'm going to go to therapy for my sex addiction. That's how I think a sex addict ends up in therapy. Same way a narcissist ends up in therapy. No narcissist is walking in a door saying, I'm a narcissist. I need therapy. It's because they got caught.
Well, there's a book called The Truth by Neil Strauss. And that's kind of what happened with him. He was just chronically cheating and he didn't know. But that's a thing. Like, chronic cheaters.
Yeah, and I have all the empathy in the world for you, but I don't want you as my partner.
No, I know. That's true. That's true. And I'm not making excuses for people. Like, you do need to seek help. And also, anytime you have an addiction, you need to be aware of, like, your reverberations that you're having on the people around you. But I do think that it's sad for some men these days who are, like, they can't be happy in a relationship with one woman. They have to have, like, the high of, like,
that probably also
cheating,
means
sleeping
a
around.
Porn addiction.
Well, this guy did, and Neil Strauss, and he's very open about it in this book. It's actually really interesting. If you know anybody who's struggling with any kind of sex addiction or inability to stay faithful, read that book, The Truth, Neil Strauss. And he ends up going to a rehab. But it all stemmed from, like, a trauma. Like, he saw something that his dad was doing that was really, like, disturbing to him at a young age. And this guy was madly in love with this woman and, like, wanted to marry her, was thought that, like, there's nobody in the world that would be more perfect for him. He wanted to be in a committed relationship. Could not keep his dick in his pants. Like, he just, like, he couldn't. And he knew he was blowing up his life, and he ended up cheating on her with, like, her best friend. Like, it's always something that's, like, the more of the rush.
But do you just sometimes think that the people, like, this are innately, like, somehow get off on, like, hurting people, like psychopaths?
I don't think they get off on hurting people. I think they get off on being sneaky.
Yeah, and that is a problem. That
he didn't want to hurt her. I think most cheaters really don't want to hurt the person that they're cheating on. I think that they can't help themselves. They love the sneakiness, and ultimately they're choosing their own
selfish. Then I guess the truth in that would be revealed in how they handle it when they're caught. Because if they're honest and apologize, that's one thing. If they gaslight you and try to deny that they did this, they intended to hurt you. They knew what they were doing, and they knew they'd lie about it if they got caught.
Yeah, I mean, obviously every case is probably a little bit different, but there's so many. Yes, I mean, how you deal with any situation ever that you're caught in, how you react to that, and how much you're willing to be, like,
reveal so much of a person's personality. If someone cheats on you and, like, they get caught, or if they tell you and apologize profusely, want to make it up to you, whatever it is, that's one thing. If somebody gets caught cheating and then denies, and you're like, no, I have proof right here, and they continue to deny, chances are they're probably a pathological liar. If they're denying, like, irrefutable evidence.
Well, there's a few different things it could be. It could be that they actually believe their own reality and they believe their lies. Or it could be that they
are a narcissist. The rules don't apply to them.
Right.
I'm never going to get caught.
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
But then I do think there's a huge sector of men who have been so desensitized from, like, porn culture, who get off on, like, you know, that high testosterone, especially with a lot of men who are on these, like, hormone therapies.
Yeah.
You can't get enough sex from one woman. And they want different sex with different women because it's the variety.
Yeah.
I actually have a friend right now, a friend of a friend, who is dating somebody who, like, is the kind of guy who, like, says shut the fuck up in her face. And she's made all her embryos with him.
Oh,
she wants,
this is that?
Yeah. And she, like, really wants, she doesn't want to be with this guy. But he wants to be with her and wants to have a baby with her. But she really, really, really wants to have a baby. But she's, like, in her early 40s. It's kind of like now or never. And she's like, do I just, like, pretend that I want to be with him so that we can have this baby? Because she might not ever be able to carry her own child if she tries to. Because she can't afford to.
She already froze her eggs.
Do it all by herself. She already died. She would financially need a partner to raise a child with. But also, do you want to raise a child with somebody who would say shut the fuck up in your face?
Well, also, who you choose for yourself is who you choose for your child.
Yeah.
Is that a father you want for your child?
Right. I was like, absolutely not, absolutely not. She needs to go away. And then my friend was also like, he's also not like generous with sex. Like that he's like very lazy and just lays there. I'm like, that's it. That's it.
Abort
yeah.
mission.
No. I mean,
poor choice of words. Cancel the mission. Break up.
Yeah, break up.
That's really awful. That's a tough position.
Okay, so Sophie is going to read one of the questions that somebody asked, and we're going to answer that together.
Yeah. Moving on to the question portion of our podcast, our podcast.
She kind of sounds like the woman in the beginning of all the episodes. It's like, you are listening to a Dear Media podcast.
Brought to you by Sophia and Isabella.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what's the question?
Okay, how to get over and stop taking back my narcissistic boyfriend?
Okay. I have a few things to say about this. I did do an Instagram video where I talked about something called an extinction burst. And I think that this is even more, it applies even more to somebody who's trying to leave a narcissist. Because, well, first of all, you need to make the decision that you're going to leave this person. And you need to journal how you feel at that moment that you want to leave them, because there will be a time when you start second guessing and you need something to go back and remind you why you're leaving. I feel like that is a huge thing that I've had to learn. You don't realize how, especially women with our cycles, we are kind of emotionally a totally different person from like one day of the month to another. And yeah. You need to write down how you're feeling, because you forget. You forget why you are leaving somebody, why you don't get along.
And even in any type of a relationship, but specifically if you think you're in a toxic relationship or you think you're in an abusive relationship, which if you're having those thoughts, you probably already are, journal, because you will forget the fights when they start being really nice to you again. And I just texted you and Olivia. Did you read that? I sent you
No, I didn't read it because it was like TLDR. But
I sent you guys a picture of like my journal. I just moved. I found my old journal and I found like, just from an old relationship, writing about a fight that we were in, and I'm reading it and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, how did you think this was okay?
Yeah.
And like, even just having the perspective of just being older and wiser, but like the fact that I was writing it down in that moment, I was writing it down for a reason, maybe not really knowing why I felt like it needed to be recorded, but like having it now means a lot because it helps you stay strong in your decision to whether it is that you're leaving this person or to really remind yourself when they're being great again that like they're also capable of being this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And so just to circle back, extinction burst, it's a term that I used to, it's a term from behavior analysis, which I was a behavior analyst for a little while many moons ago. But basically it's the phenomenon that like, okay, let's say you're putting a quarter in a vending machine and every time you put the quarter in, you get, you know, a bag of chips or whatever. So every time this guy wants to talk to you, you respond. Every time he wants you to do something, you jump. Basically, he expects this a certain reaction from you. Now, when you pull away, he's going to have an extinction burst. So if you stop talking to him, he's going to, his behavior is going to increase in like intensity and duration. So he's going to freak the fuck out for a minute. And then he's going to keep doing that. So like, so now he's put a quarter in the vending machine and you're not giving him the normal reaction. When you put a quarter in a vending machine, it doesn't give you the bag of chips anymore. What do? Do you just walk away and without a fight? No, like you take the vending machine, you kick it, you shake it. Like you know, you have like a mini tantrum essentially, which is what you can expect from any person, but particularly a narcissist, because they internalize rejection so hardcore.
Oh my God.
But I guess my point is just like to expect that they are going to have a little freak out, but that to know it's not going to last forever. Eventually they're going to get tired of putting out that effort and not getting something in return. I mean, it also just depends on the severity of like, is this person a dangerous person?
Yeah.
Not all narcissists are dangerous.
No.
Every situation is different, but also you never know what someone's capable of.
Arguing with a narcissist, you're going to get hit with deny, attack, reverse, victim, and offender. So if you've ever been arguing with someone, which is, this is what I sent you in that journal.
Say it slower, deny.
If you're arguing with the narcissist will deny, attack, reverse, victim, and offender. So what
victim?
An offender. So what I sent you the other day, that journal that I sent you, it ended with me being like, we were arguing about him being really shady with his phone, but then somehow I was in trouble because I went home for Christmas. Like, I don't even know how we got on this topic, yeah, but so now he's mad at me.
He reversed it.
And I literally verbatim in my journal have written, I'm so confused. I don't know how we got on this, because that is like their weapon of choice. It's to confuse you.
Oh, reverse the victim and offender.
He's the victim now. He's like, well, I'm mad at you because you left 5 months ago to go home for Christmas. And I'm like, how are we talking about this now? You didn't give me your phone earlier today. You were really shady. How am I the one in trouble now?
And what's the first one? Deflect.
Deny, attack, reverse victim offender.
Okay. Deny, attack.
Yeah. I didn't, I wasn't shady with my phone. You really hurt my feelings months ago when you went home. And I'm like, what? Why are we talking about this? And like, you end up in a new fight about something entirely different. And somehow they're the victim. Somehow you are apologizing to them.
I do think it's very common for people who are even not narcissists to be like, you know, if you come to them and they feel threatened, they feel like they're being attacked or threatened, for somebody to be like, well, you did this, 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 and the other thing. But like, my five-year-old does that. Like, it's a very immature way to deal. If somebody's coming to you with real feelings and real, you know, something that they're really struggling with, and maybe because of you, I think it's just important for all adults to take a step back and be like, okay, before I get into that defensive, like, but you did this, like, just be like, take a deep breath so you don't, because you sound like a fucking idiot when the first thing you say is, but you.
Yeah, exactly. And also like
you should just always be like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
As an adult, kind of infuriating. Especially when you're in a relationship, any argument, no matter how like silly it may seem to you, like is important to the other person. And you should be solution oriented to make the person you love feel good and to feel heard. I'm not that sensitive, honestly. What I've worked on a lot is to be like, okay, well, this might not have hurt my feelings if roles were reversed, but it did hurt this person's feelings. So I need to like respect that and hear them out and take accountability for like what I did that doesn't work for this person. Because everybody is different and everybody has different partners, especially if you've had like multiple relationships throughout your life. Like, they're going to act differently. And it's, if you really love and care for them, you should want to hear them out.
Yeah. And anytime somebody's being like, well, if anytime somebody's trying to minimize how you feel or kind of talk you out of your feelings about something,
it's a defense mechanism. It's you don't want to feel shame because maybe you did do something wrong.
Totally. So lesson for life, but definitely when you're leaving a narcissist,
well,
expect these reactions.
Yeah. But so that's why, like, really to get over a narcissistic partner, the best thing that you can do for yourself, and it's honestly, it's like not even a non-negotiable, you have to go no contact. Like, opening up a conversation with them again when you know that they're probably just going to lie to you, they're going to gaslight you. Like, why would you allow this person in your life? Why would you allow them to manipulate you again? So going no contact. And then in this day and age with social media, like, any breakup, do not stalk your ex.
Yeah. It depends on the person. Some people that, like, it depends how painful the breakup is. There's a lot of people that, there's been a few guys in my past where, like, I didn't want anything to remind me of them because it was so painful.
Yeah.
So I would protect myself by literally moving. Like, that one time I even moved across the country for, like, because I didn't want to be reminded of that guy. I mean, that was literally an extreme case. But, like, you know, there's a lot of situations where you have kids with somebody. Luckily for me, like, strangely enough too, like, my divorce wasn't my most painful breakup. So I don't really, like, I don't mind that my world, that I have to bump into him all the time. But I don't know how, maybe it was more painful for him. And maybe, I think for a lot of divorces, it is extremely painful for people. And that's something that I hopefully over time you become a little bit more desensitized to if you have to kind of maneuver your life around them.
Yeah.
I mean, watch them be with new people.
That's really hard. And like that's something that you have to navigate, because like you have to see Mikey, but I've never been in a situation where like I have to continue to be around an ex. But that's what I like about our podcast together, having our different perspectives.
Look at yours, we're offering mine. Also, just like from like a neurological standpoint, like, you need to not be using those same neural pathways all the time of communicating with this person.
You know, the longer you go
without talking to them, without being reminded of them, the better. Every day your chances of successfully freeing yourself of this addiction is what it really is.
Yeah.
Becomes better and better. And that's addiction.
You have a trauma bond with this person and you need to get away from that, because trauma bond makes you feel like you're in love.
Yeah.
This loyalty that you have to them, this conditioning that you've had to them, like you have to break the trauma bond and you cannot do that if you're still in contact with them.
Right. And like, so like I just talked about earlier, Russell Brand writes this book called From Our Addiction. So it can be applied to a person. Like you could be addicted to a person. There's a whole group of people, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, SLAA, and they use the 12 steps to get over an addiction and a person. And it's like the first thing that you need to realize is that you're making this person like your God, like your higher power.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to realize that this person, you're putting them on a pedestal in a way. No person should ever have the power to
never
make you lose sleep, to make you question your own self-worth, to make you any less than you could be without them, you know?
It's also not normal. Like, we all can love, you should love and respect your partner, but to have them on a pedestal where you feel less than, and like they enjoy this power dynamic where it's like, I'm up here and you're down here because I'm so great to you all the time. Like, one, that is the result of love bombing. When you called me with Dr. Love and you were like, am I being love bombed? And I was like, if you're asking me that question, like, you know the answer.
Yeah.
But that's why you stay in those situations, because you put him up here on this pedestal and you're like, oh, he's great. He's amazing. It's like, he's going to fall off that pedestal one day.
Yeah.
And when he does, you're going to realize a lot of other red flags that you ignored.
Totally. And while I was shocked by the severity of this man's duplicity, I knew what I was signing up for. Like, I think in
a lot of
ways,
you don't know until it's over.
I think we always kind of know what we are probably signing ourselves, that we're not heading in the right direction. And some of us, like me, at certain times in your life, you just want to have fun. You just want somebody to buy you gifts. You just want to go on a trip. You just want, and I was just kind of like, la, 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 la. So it's like, I take full responsibility for that. And I don't think that there's necessarily like, okay, the right answer would have been, you deserve more than this if what you're looking for is a long-term committed relationship and like a new family, then stop wasting your time with people who give you a feeling that they might not be who exactly who they say they are all the time.
Yeah, 100%. Your intuition, like, I think we're always aware if we're in a situation that's probably not the safest or not the healthiest, but like, there's so many ways to rationalize things that make you feel good. And if somebody can make you feel like the top of the world, but then they can also make you feel awful about yourself, like, one, we gravitate towards hope and love and like what feels good. So when you're in a situation where like you're kind of like a Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde, like sometimes they're great, sometimes they're awful. Like, you're always going to rationalize why you can stay through the awful because the great is so great.
Yeah.
That's like definition of a toxic relationship. It's an addictive cycle.
Totally. And also one of my most popular videos that I did on my Instagram was talking about intermittent reinforcement, which is like basically when you're getting inconsistent.
It's called breadcrumbing.
Oh, yeah. When you're getting inconsistent attention, appreciation, sex, love, is anything inconsistent from a person. You put the times that they do give you that attention or those breadcrumbs on such a pedestal, and it's so inflated in your brain because it's not coming consistently. And it, to a point where we actually start preferring people who are inconsistent with their behaviors towards us, because somebody who shows up consistently kind of makes us feel bored and flat because we're not used to not being on a roller coaster. We're like, why doesn't this car is just like going steady on the highway. I need some bumps.
Well, that literally, somebody asked this, navigating a healthy relationship after a toxic one. And what you're saying is like, safety and security in a secure person can make someone who's just been in a toxic relationship feel bored.
So if you ever go to a casino, which are huge money-making operations based on human, you know, psychology, they're committed to, to make... So all the slot machines there are on an intermittent reinforcement schedule because it's scientifically proven to be addicting. You want to sit there and get that random hit of dopamine that you get from like the occasional, oh, he's in a good mood today, or he's saying nice things to me, or the occasional compliment feels so much better from somebody who usually doesn't say very nice things to you.
Like, that type of relationship, like, it is intentional and it's cruel.
It's cruel. I don't know if it's I wouldn't give them the credit to say that it's planned and calculated. I think they know they're being assholes, and I think they know when they're lying, but I think some people really are just wired to be manipulative in that way.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's always just about them. It's really not that personal. I think that's another huge thing that people, once you kind of take yourself out of it and know that, like, it really wasn't ever you. You could have been a different girl.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
100%.
The way that they, I'm sure what he did to you, he's doing to another girl right now. It's not like there would be some girl who would, like, make him different. We always want to be that person.
Did you ever listen to Dr. Ramani?
Who?
Dr. Ramani. She has a PhD. She's like this expert in nurses. And like one of the analogies that I saw that just made it so not personal and really helps you like understand and just like move on from it is that narcissistic people, they think of other people like as objects. And that's why very successful people like CEOs, like billionaires, they tend to be narcissistic.
Because you got to be ruthless.
You've got to be ruthless. You don't care who you fuck over. Like if you think, okay, if you're a narcissist, like this is the analogy she gave, like they think of another person as an object. Like this is my coffee. Like I don't care how your day was. I don't.
It's rude.
I don't care how your day went. I don't care if I offend you. But when I want the coffee, like I'm gonna pick you up. I'm gonna like I might love on you. Oh, thanks, coffee. Love you so much.
Yeah.
But when I don't need you anymore, I'm gonna throw you out.
Like
I don't
care. You serve no purpose.
You serve no purpose. You're done. That is how a narcissist thinks. And when you were like, well, he doesn't want sex. So like, it's not like, why is that not like, that's not even worth like.
Yeah.
And I said to you, because that's not his motivation. His motivation isn't sex.
It's power.
It's power.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I think a lot of women, especially, or I shouldn't say women because women can be the narcissist and a lot of time they are.
But
lot,
I think. Do you think it's actually
more women?
I don't quote me on that. I don't know. But like.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like because I'm just. I can't fathom even ever calling a guy who I don't have. I don't know. I'm like a romantic. I think it's just it's hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes and to consider that other people have just such wildly different motivations than you.
Wild. I'm not kidding. 27 was the year where I really finally just accepted that like there are really manipulative people out there, like, mm-hmm. and it's never just in a romantic relationship. Like, I'm talking about like friendships, business relationships, where I've now just like noticed, oh my god, like you are fully taking advantage of me. Like, I wouldn't do that to another person. And when I learned like stop expecting you from other people, it changed everything in me.
Stop expecting you from other people. Thank you, Dr. Sophie, Dr. Sophia.
Yes, Isabella, you're welcome.
I wouldn't undo any of my, maybe the last one.
I couldn't do without that. I'm like, if I could control alt delete.
No, you, Sophie, you are such a deeper person now.
I know. I go back and forth.
I remember before you were like, before you had any of these breakup stuff, Olivia and I would be like, you know, with all of our traumas, like reading A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, the book that I recommended to everybody who's going through a breakup. Mm-hmm. But like, you didn't get it. You'd be like, why do you like him so much, Aurora, when he's such a jerk? And I'm just like, because you only ever liked people who liked you back. Everybody has narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah.
But fitting the description of somebody who is a narcissist, you have to check off more of the boxes than the average person. There's totally a spectrum.
Everybody's
a little gay too, but you know, I mean.
Yeah, no, true.
It's a
full spectrum.
Not everybody acts on it. It's like, yeah, I have narcissistic tendencies every second of the day. I make a different choice because I want friends.
Everybody has narcissistic tendencies, but like, if you think about it this way, like not every narcissist is a serial killer. Every serial killer is a narcissist. You know what I mean? Like there's a large spectrum. You can be a narcissist that's just like.
Not Dexter. He used his powers for the good. Did you ever watch Dexter?
Yeah, but he's definitely got a lot of antisocial personality
traits. Okay, so should we do some voicemails? Were they X-rated?
Hi, Aurora. I have a question. As an oldest sister of three girls, I'm curious whether you, Sophia, and Olivia were always super close or if you got closer in recent years, and also how you handle being compared by strangers or family or friends to your sisters and how that makes you feel, I guess, how you cope with it or not. Maybe you're just much more secure in yourself than I am, but what that feels like and looks like for you. I was curious.
I like this one.
Yeah. Have we always been super close? No, but I do think it makes a difference that we do have similarities that are pretty fundamental. Like I have one of my best friends has two sisters. She's really close with one of them, really not close with the other one. I don't think it necessarily says anything about you if you're not close with your siblings. Some personalities just don't
jive. So different. You can just have completely different siblings that you don't like really mesh with. And it doesn't mean that you don't like love them, but you don't have like, we do have very similar personalities.
Not even similar personalities, but like our we're interested in the same type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like if you look at like mine and Olivia's bookshelves or Audibles, it's like the same type of stuff that we listen to. You will do like those trash.
I love a good
books.
Beach read.
Yeah,
I do. But I also like the good, the self-help stuff too. But like, if I'm on the beach, I just don't want to battle my demons right now.
I am battling demons all day, every day. Like,
there's never a bad time. We'll talk about that later. Like, I'm reading my book, my beach
Yeah, you
book.
Can check out into like fiction land a little bit, like into like imaginary world. I feel like mom's like that. And then in terms of comparing each other to each other, it is hard. I think it's always hard when one person isn't doing well in a certain way, maybe like financially, one person isn't doing well, the other person is. Or I think as you get older and you see each other in different situations where you're not always on top.
Yeah.
And you can be humble and compassionate and like try to be helpful rather than be like preachy, then, you know, then I feel like it helps the relationship. But I do think it's just so hard to be like, oh, well, this works. This is what works for us. I hate when people do that. It's like everybody's relationships are so different. She might have three real asshole sisters.
We don't know. That could happen. Sometimes we have asshole sisters, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I think being compared to your siblings is really, it's like, it happens. Like, people are going to compare you guys. But it can be really challenging to find, as like the younger sister in our family, like finding your identity among like being compared to older siblings or even like just being influenced. Like I remember being just like at that age, you're like, who are you? What are you like, really, what defines you? And like having so many people, I guess my experience is a little different because I had like strangers being like, branch off from your sisters, like find your independence. It's like, but they're my older sisters too. Like I learned everything from you guys. Like find your own sense of style. I'm like, okay, but these are all hand-me-downs.
Like, yeah. Or just like we are similar. We grew up with the same parents.
And there's nothing wrong with that too.
Yeah.
To be similar to your siblings. But I remember feeling this like intense urge and desire and pressure to like
be different.
Be so different. I'm like, okay, but we were raised in the same house by the same parents. Like we are, like we just said, like we enjoy the same things, like we are pretty similar. We're not the same personalities, but I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with like with just, I don't know,
embracing what makes you feel good. And honestly, I think it just all comes with like getting to know yourself better.
Yeah, for sure.
Anytime you are compared to anybody, it's not, nobody likes to be compared to anybody because
and people can be so mean about it. Like the amount of comments that we both have to endure of just strangers on the internet comparing us to our sister.
You'd be like, you the hottest, your sister.
That's one of the questions. Who's the hottest, Culpo?
It's like,
you want us to answer this?
It's like, it doesn't make me feel good when someone's like you're hotter than that person or that they're the hottest. A lot of people,
you'll never be as hot as Olivia.
Yeah, like, you'll never be, stop trying. You'll never be as hot as Olivia. It's like, okay, well, that's gross. I don't want to even think about her like that. Like, I don't know.
No, the comparison is the thief of joy.
Long-time thank you. First time caller here. Wanted to ask about your relationship with Sophia. It seems like you've really been a mentor and a good older sister to her. But in what ways does Sophia inspire you, Aurora? Also, what's your favorite thing about Sophia's boyfriend?
Okay. My favorite thing about Sophia's boyfriend is that he calls in and he's a longtime listener, first time caller.
Longtime listener, first time caller.
One of the things that I admire about Sophie is that she's not, like what we said earlier in the episode about a lot of people's first reaction is to be defensive. And that's something that like I've had to work through and is not my, like, naturally my first reaction is to like be ready to fight. And Sophie is much more thoughtful with her responses, which I think is like a very mature quality.
Oh, thank you.
And she's not very reactive at all, and she is not super defensive, which is, I think, is pretty unusual. Most people, like, if you confront them with like, you did this or that, it'd be for them to just be like, well, you did this. But she actually is like, you know, I feel like you are thoughtful with your responses, which is good.
Thank you. I like that.
What else was the, what do you say? What do I like about Sophie's
boyfriend?
What's
your favorite thing about Michael?
I like that you don't turn her into a raging bitch and that she doesn't put post-it notes on the mirror anymore that says, you are special.
Morning affirmations.
Yeah.
You will get through it.
Aurora, I love, love, love listening to a girl from Rhode Island who's down to earth and tells it like it is. I love it. I love you all. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Oh, bye. I love her.
So sweet.
Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for listening to me and my sister, Sophie, or Sophia, whatever. And let us know. You can DM us and just let us know if you think Sophie should come on more or if we never want her to invite her back again.
I mean, we had so many questions that we didn't even get through. You guys are going to have me back.
Okay.
I think we answered 3 of them.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Stay strong. And remember, if we can leave you with one piece of advice or something to take away from today's episode, it would be...
Don't expect yourself from other people.
Don't expect you from other people. I love that. Thank you.
You're
for listening.
So welcome for sure.
Delilah.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.